Welcome to Living Water Radio. This coming Sunday will likely be the biggest disappointment of the church year. Yet, we will be hearing the continuing story of Easter, the greatest news in the history of the world, in the context of doubts. How does God deal with our doubts? Today, we're going to find out. My name is Pastor David Burkadahl. My wife, Reverend Sally Welch, is co-producing this podcast. Sally is a Christian Church Disciples of Christ, United Church of Christ ordained minister, focusing on ecumenical and interfaith ministry. I served Lutheran Christian congregations in Compton, California, and in San Dimas, California for over 40 years. Today, maintaining our yard is my gym, and I'm active as a volunteer in the leadership of the more than 100 Evangelical Lutheran Church in America congregations in our area. Between the two of us, we have over 80 years of ordained ministry experience. Check out our first Living Water Radio podcast, number zero, Welcome and Introduction, for more information about us and this podcast. This coming Sunday is known as the second Sunday of Easter, sometimes called Low Sunday, or what I call the Sunday of Disappointment. It's the Sunday we all look around and ask, "Where is everybody?" In Western Christianity, it's also known as Divine Mercy Sunday, the Octave Day of Easter, White Sunday, and Quasimodo Sunday. Yes, that's right, Quasimodo Sunday, the name of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, so named because he was found at the cathedral as a hunchbacked infant on Quasimodo Sunday, so named after the first words of the antiphon of the Latin introit in the Mass for this day. 1 Peter 2:2, Quasimodo Geniti Infantes, or like newborn infants. It's also the name of a surfing position, but I digress. Last Sunday, the Sunday of the Resurrection of our Lord, a.k.a. Easter Sunday, or to some, the first Sunday of Coachella, our churches were as full as they get. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. We celebrated that. And this coming Sunday, it will be like it never happened. There are some people who don't keep the Sabbath holy every Sunday, but if there is one when they do, it will be Easter. Others are dragged or guilted in by insistent friends and relatives. Some are bribed with the promise of candy and, for adults, food afterwards. Some come just because it's what they and or their family have always done and has become part of their identity. They, as Steely Dan said, suit up for a game they no longer play. Our churches will have put on their best everything in the hopes that some will come back, and maybe some will, but if you had never been to a church and if you were there last Sunday, you're probably going to be just as flummoxed as everybody else this coming Sunday. Our gospel text for next Sunday, however, is even worse. How do you witness the resurrected body of Jesus after he had told you he was going to rise from the dead and not know what to do? The disciples are gathered on the evening of the resurrection. They are still processing what happened in the morning. Then this happens in John 20, verses 19 through 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The disciples were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They were afraid that what had happened to Jesus could happen to them. Yet, it's been said that the Bible says, "Fear not," or "Don't be afraid," or something like that 366 times, one for every day of the year, plus one for a leap year. Jesus said these or similar words many times. When Jesus suddenly appears in a locked room with them, the first words out of his mouth are, "Peace be with you," "Shalom Aleichem," a common, even casual greeting. Then things get weirder. He shows them his wounds on his hands and on his side. He commissions them with a mini Pentecost just for them. He breathes on them. What else began with a breath? Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. What is the authority of the Bible? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Other translations replace inspired with God-breathed. The Bible's life comes from God. It is the means by which God comes alive for us. But one disciple who had ventured out was not present when Jesus breathed life and power on the disciples. We see it in John 20, verses 24 to 29. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." So there's a doubter. Jesus moves forward to send people out anyway. Remember how the Great Commission at the end of the Gospel of Matthew is set in Matthew 28, 16 through 20? Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." We live in an increasingly secular age. We live in a time when people have been isolated and estranged, and I believe are hungry for the real community that God gives. Pastor Will Willimon is a Methodist pastor who has been a seminary professor, university chaplain, the Methodist equivalent of a bishop, and is a fine preacher. He tells the story of a young woman who was a member of a congregation he served who made an appointment to see him during the week. She came by his office and said, "Pastor Willimon, I just wanted to say that I won't be coming to church anymore. I've been struggling with my faith for a while, and I just realized that I can't do it anymore. I appreciate everything that you and the church members have done for me, and I didn't want to just drift away. I just came to say goodbye." Pastor Willimon tried to address her struggles and encouraged her to continue, but she was having none of it. And the next Sunday, she was back at worship. And the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that. Finally, Pastor Willimon asked if she could stop by his office again, and she agreed. Pastor Willimon said, "Aren't you the same person who came by and said that she no longer had faith and wouldn't be coming to worship anymore?" She smiled and said, "Yes." "Well, then, I'm happy to see you, but could you tell me what happened?" he said. "Well," she answered, "it came to me that sometimes, if you can't believe for yourself, you have to be with people who will believe for you." So when people tell me that they are having doubts, I ask them to be consistent in their doubting and to question their doubts as well. Doubt their doubts. Thomas came to belief because he saw the risen Christ and put his hand in his wounds. That's not something that happens to us. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe," Jesus said. How do people come to believe? According to the Barna Group, 94% of people who come to Christ do so before their 18th birthday. Study after study has shown that 80 to 85% of all people who come to Christ do so because of the influence of a friend or a relative. Each of us has a story of how we became a Christian or why we remain a Christian. This passage from John ends by describing the purpose of the whole Gospel of John with what I think are two of the most important verses in the Bible, in John 20, verses 30 and 31. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Some of those who were at worship last Sunday were not doubters. They weren't even interested. They were, is it too harsh to say it, spiritual tourists. They are like the young woman who sat next to one of my colleagues on a plane who, seeing her Bible, described herself as proudly spiritual, not religious. In reflecting on their conversation, the pastor said, "I'm always interested in people who find ancient religion boring, but who find themselves endlessly fascinating." What we offer is neither religion nor self-affirmation. We proclaim Jesus, crucified, risen, and coming again. We proclaim that belief is a gift from God and leads people to life that truly is life in a living relationship with the one true living God. God does not abandon us in our doubts. In fact, God gives us something to do. Christ has overcome sin, death, and all the forces that defy God. He is risen. He is risen indeed. This is the promise of God that we are led to by the Bible, as proclaimed in the words of Jesus in John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Today, let's remember to pray for all those who have yet to get the vaccines and the booster, because they are most at risk to themselves and to others. And let's remember to pray the Lord's Prayer sometime today, the one that Jesus taught us. If you don't know what that is, contact us at therevsdavidandsally@gmail.com or send us a tweet to @DavidBerkadahl, and we'll send it to you. Send your prayer requests to either of the same addresses, and we'll include them next time. Send your comments there as well. As always, we encourage you to stay hydrated. Open your heart to receive the living water from the source, God's self, the living presence of the one true living God, the God who gave himself on the cross so that all who believe and are baptized might be restored to the living relationship with God for which we were created. Remember your church. Identify one if you don't already have one. Ask a friend about it or a family member. Google it. Contact the pastor. When you have a church, go to or tune into the worship service they have available. And support your church financially so that it will be fully functioning as we move now out of the variants and back into the new normal. Support your pastor and church leaders. Pray for them and help them in any way that you can. They're trying to find their footing. They're trying to keep everybody happy. You know how impossible that is. Support them. Pray for them. If you or a loved one are having thoughts of suicide or are struggling with mental health issues, call somebody, contact a friend or a relative, Google a local national hotline, talk with a professional, reach out. You are not alone. There are people around you who will walk with you through this dark time and into the light. Wear a mask when you're outside your home, practice social distancing, wash or sanitize your hands regularly, get your vaccine. It's the one thing you can do to keep lowering the curve and to literally save lives. Do it for the sake of others. Avoid crowds if you can, and be outside if you have to be in a crowd. Be kind to everyone you come into contact with, especially those who are sacrificing their security to provide for yours. We all struggle in some way. Be a helper and an encourager. Thank you for listening to Living Water Radio. We are here for Christians and for the people of the Los Angeles metropolitan area who are looking for a sense of Christian community, a source of hope, and a way to thrive together during this global pandemic. We hope you'll tune in next time and invite your friends to do the same. Meanwhile, Sally and I encourage you to open your hearts to receive living water, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and stay hydrated.